name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
The Feast of the Ascension is a joyous feast. And that may, you know, sound obvious. Feasts, by their nature, are joyous. It's interesting that those are the things that bring us to church, are the feasts. They have a way of bringing us... the church wants us to come and to celebrate something, and to show us what the cause for celebration is. Well, what's the opposite of that? The opposite of that is what is, you know, the ordinary day-to-day drudgery of life, and actually those things which dissipate life, and that which we know in this world is, you know, of what life is, namely that it's filled with suffering, it's filled with disappointment, it's filled with eventually the realities of that we all face at death. And so the Paschal Mystery is in part that, but then it's a transformation of that into a feast. And the feast is characterized by this notion of the exaltation. The hymns of this particular feast, if you listen to the Troparion and the Kantakion, there's this sense of the angelic powers rejoicing. And they even show up in the gospel story. Usually, they're always present, and they're always present, especially where Christ is. But in this particular case, they make themselves visible so that they can bear witness to the reason for your joy. And so, what happens to us in terms of the joy of the feast, or the joy of conversion, the joy of coming Christ, or discovering the Lord, or entering the Orthodox Church, or however you want to phrase that. And that is that oftentimes there is this, I've noticed, there's this emotional curve that people go through, where, you know, there's a struggle and you don't think about it, then you study and pray and you receive in the church, there's this great joy, this great celebration. And then the tendency or the temptation is than to allow things to tail off. And we get what? Lazy. And so it's interesting that what, in the midst of the feast, what do the angels remind them of? They remind them of the teaching of Christ and what they are to do. And that is a new level of vigilance, a new level of diligence, a new level of prayer, and commitment to the truth of what Christ has come to reveal. Now, in the midst of that, there may be joys and sorrows, and as the apostles, of course, experienced, there are many highs and many lows. But there was this sustaining joy. There was a sustaining festivity of the Christian way. It says, regardless of what this world throws at us, and St. Paul said this all the time, regardless of what the world throws at us, that which we have received in terms of the revelation of Christ and that which accompanies it, which is this gift of joy and of God's grace, this cannot be taken from us in this world. In fact, this is the foretaste of the fulfillment of a greater joy, a greater hope, a greater peace, and all of those things which we long for in human life but we'll never find here. And so this creates then the tension. Or it doesn't create the tension, but it shows us a way out of the tension of what we must do in this world. And we should ask ourselves whether this joy is in some way present or not, or whether there's this grace or this energy of the Lord that really is the impetus for what we are and who we are and what we do as Christians and as people. And you know, the fact is that we will go through times when maybe that is challenged. But these become actually, for the Christian, times of purification. Why? Because you discover that even in the midst of the fullness of an experience which is sorrowful, that the Lord is there present, even more so, even more present than what they thought before. And see, as long as we identify our Christian walk is just simply the emotional experiences of this or that, we will fall short, and we will lose sight of that true inner movement of grace that is what we are to really be about. And the dedication and the diligence to carrying out all that the Lord has given to us. These were his words, of course, to the apostles in St. Matthew's version of this gospel, where it's, go preach the gospel to all nations, and carry out this work that I've given you to do. Find this purpose in your life now. It is given to you, and by the way, not just to the 12, not just to the apostles, the 70 or the bishops who would be ordained by them or the priests by them, but rather to the whole of the church. And this is what would then characterize the church throughout its history. This awareness of what the gospel has brought to us, and this hope and this joy and this peace, and the strength to go get through the difficult times of our lives. So may this feast then lift us up and refocus us in terms of our life energy for each one of us, wherever we are in our life, in our personal journey in this way. May the Lord raise us up and lift us up into his glory and into his presence. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.